Hi, this is Lorenzo Elan on the Production Specialist, a podcast series of personal accounts from individuals and companies in emerging and frontier production industries. For me, one of the most intriguing aspects of film has to be the use of color. Color brings out so much in a story. For example, in the movie Limitless, the character Eddie, played by Bradley Cooper, is a struggling writer. During this time, you may not notice it, but the colors are quite desaturated, mimicking Eddie's character. Eddie is later introduced to a life-altering drug, and as he ingests this drug, the colors are brought to life. On our ninth episode, we host Sudeep Shrestha, a digital cinema colorist from Nepal. Sudeep has worked on hundreds of projects, spanning feature films, commercials, and TV shows. He currently resides in Abu Dhabi, the capital of the UAE, where he works as a freelance colorist under 2454. I've had the pleasure to work closely with Sudeep on the Middle East's first soap opera. Welcome to the show, Sudeep.
Back in Nepal, I was well connected with film industry people since my young age because my cousin brothers were in media faculty. So it was easy access for me. And growing in that environment, filmmaking in those times, it impacted a lot. I was addicted to watch movies a lot. I used to watch a lot of movies those times, and I always watched Nepali movies back there, and the quality of Nepali movie was not that good compared to other films from Hollywood. The quality technically was quite poor, and in those times I wanted to improve the quality of the image of Nepali films, so I always wanted to learn how the quality can improve. And those times we were in film negative times. We used to shoot films in negative, and we used to do film telecine and DI. That was the process. But when the first camera in Nepal from Red Digital Cinema back in 2007-8, I think, I was very lucky to be in that team. And when it arrived, then I saw an opportunity to learn this technique with the team. I assisted my first film, shot in red. And for the same film, when it was again re-edited, I became the colorist. By the time my first film released, I had already graded more than 3 feature films that time. So that's how it started, and it was a quite learning curve because in those times, back then, we had very less access of softwares as well as hardware tools and a mentorship that was quite difficult to get. But back then, there in Nepal, we had a British library. So in British library, I would access film books. And at the same time, I joined a film school, Institute of Television, Films and Performing Arts there. And I graduated as a film director because that was only the choice of subject I had. But I had a deep interest in making films better, look better. So it directed me towards being a colorist. In those times, I used to credit myself as an editor because I didn't know the term colorist. So I didn't look into it. Later, I came to know about DI, Digital Intermediate Colorist. And then I was more interested on that. And by that time, I had already known a couple of softwares like Assimilator Scratch and DaVinci. The new version had come that time. And it was difficult to access those softwares those times. But I was fortunate to be in a studio where they purchased those things. And I was in the first team to learn it and access all those things. So that's how it started. And after that, during that course time when I was doing films and ads and music videos, I started finding books and trying my best to access all sorts of materials available in internet or physically in a bookshop. I tried my best and I improved my skills by the time. For many years, I think 2-3 years, I didn't took any money because I thought, okay, I did something better. It looks better than what it was shot. So that's how it started. Later, when I did my first film, I was paid quite well. And then, yeah, that was my journey.
But because Nepal was quite limiting in terms of growth, he had already reached the peak for the Nepali film industry. And as a result, he decided to move to the UAE.
So I started my own, and I used to create 4 to 6 films a month in those times. But there was a limit of growth. There was no new kind of look. Whatever I used to do was top notch. I was limited with projects I'm getting. So I wanted to explore myself and take a challenge of establishing myself in other part of the world as a colorist. And I chose UAE because it was quite accessible for me. And when I came here, I thought I should have an experience of running a company in UAE. and then I should start my own. So that's how I landed a job in my first company, Tambi Studios. And then I joined Pixel House. At the same time, I started doing freelance during my weekends. And then now I am complete freelance from 2454. I'm working projects from all over the world.
Let me take you on a quick color grading tour. Before the advent of modern software, color grading was quite primitive. In the 1960s, when film was shot on physical tape, a machine known as Hazeltine reversed images on the original negatives and displayed them on a television-like screen. The Hazeltine worked on an RGB process with three sliders, one controlling the red and cyan axis, another controlling green and magenta, and the last controlling blue and yellow. The changes affected the whole image all at once, and a balance had to be found. To lower the red color, cyan had to be added, etc. Once a color had been set for a specific scene, the film would be exposed to that light and that film would take on that specific color. This surely was a tedious job, and was difficult to tell how it would look on the big screen. However, in the late 1990s, a process known as Digital Intermediate, or DI for short, allowed physical film to be scanned and digitized, giving the colorist a range of digital tools as a way to control individual colors and areas of the image more accurately. When the color grading was finished, it would be transferred back to physical film. But nowadays, most films are shot digitally and don't require the use of DI. Now, Sudeep works as a digital colorist, one that works only with digital media and not with film. So what exactly is a colorist? Let's find out.
Every movie needs adjustment because most of the movies are not shot in the same day or maybe in the same light situation. So there are times when you start shooting, it may turn into evening, or maybe the scene you shoot is not finished the same day. You have to continue shooting the next day and the situation of lighting can change. So for that situation, you have to do color correction. Color correction is more of fixing the shots to make it look more natural, like closer to the eyes. I want to give you an example of a human eye. Human eye is quite decisive because it can adjust according to the situation. When you go to outside in the brightness, it just adjusts our retina. So we can adjust the dark situation and outdoor situation. But the camera does not have a brain. We tell the camera to adjust within its parameter, like we set up the temperature or aperture or a sort of speed. And according to that calculation, it creates an image, which is quite, I would say, more of a manipulated image or processed image. But a human brain does it automatically. Beyond that, I would say cinema is a form of art, and color plays a vital role to convey a message of art. So we do color grading for films to convey the message more strongly to support the story. And at the same time, technically, we fix a lot of things which we couldn't do in the production stage. So it's more of fixing as well as giving a creative touch to a film.
The eye is quite extraordinary. Imagine working a late night in a dimly lit room. On your way out, you hand your coworker a blue binder. The next day, you bump into your coworker in the parking lot. She's carrying a stack of different colored binders. She asks you to take the binder you gave her last night. Do you have any trouble recognizing your blue binder? Unless there's more than one blue one, you should be fine. This is called chromatic adaption. Our eyes are constantly using environmental cues to determine what white is in a given situation. Cameras, on the other hand, can't automatically adjust for this. Therefore, we manually need to input these changes, such as f-stops, shutter speed, etc. Check out more of this in episode 5. In post-production, a color grading suite uses fixed lighting, which is consistent with the white point of the mastering display, so not to disrupt the eye with the changing exterior source of light. Sudeep is a master of balancing colors, using things called color theory and color harmony.
in the same way, in image manipulation, red, green, and blue channel, and as well as alpha channel, plays a vital role to give adjustment so it creates harmony in image. So even black and white has color in it. Okay, example, a black and white image has a strength. It gives you an impact. Imagine right now there's a black and white image on your desk. Somebody is new and he just want to see the image, and he will ask you whether the image was taken back in 90s. It gives you a time period. It takes you to a certain time. So likewise, in color theory, we have certain adjustment in color which creates maximum impact on human emotions. With color, we try to give contrast. Example, teal and orange has that character, and no other colors has such impact than teal and orange. So 70 to 80% is more of teal and orange. Blade Runner is a perfect example of teal and orange. If you remove teal and orange from that film, you will feel difference in impact.
The color combination of teal and orange is quite common in the films you watch. Combinations of colors are known as color harmonies or color schemes. There are different types. Here are a few examples. Complementary color scheme uses colors on opposite sides of the color wheel, such as red and green, or teal and orange. The analogous color scheme uses colors that sit next to each other, such as yellow, orange, and red. Using these different combinations, you can portray a sense of harmony or dissonance. Because Sudeep has worked on countless projects for clients all over the world, he has come to find out that each region has their own look.
European DOPs, they come up with more of a monochromatic kind of look. When I do projects from India or maybe Asian region, they are more colorful. They are vibrant, you know, the films are so vibrant and there is strong contrast. But if you check European, they come quite desaturated, less contrast, more focused on the characters than the environment. So this is quite different. And if you see movies from Hollywood, they are more of teal and orange only. So according to the region and according to the story, the color look is quite different. I feel more people in the Middle East, they are more into European kind of style. And people in South Asian countries, more glossy, too much colorful, color everywhere.
But why not just throw a filter over the final product and call it a day?
So it's a very good question, yeah. Why don't we throw? We throw filter, of course, yes. But everything is shot differently. Every next frame is different. And certain filters, what we throw on the scene, might look good in one frame, but may not look good on another frame. So it has to be manipulated throughout the whole film. With the colorist, the main challenge of colorist or creating a look is that, can we carry the look throughout the film? Okay, it might work in one frame or maybe in one place. But the same look might not work in other places. So we need to readjust according to the situation.
If you have dabbled in filmmaking, you may have heard of a term called a LUT, or lookup table. It's synonymous with color grading. But what differentiates a professional colorist to the average Joe is the use of tools such as LUTs.
Basically, LUT is, technically it's a lookup table. It has a mathematical data to decode an image. But the problem with the LUT is it limits your freedom, because any image you put a LUT on top, it just limits. It limits your color gamut. So you'll be quite limited to manipulate it. It can be used as a filter. It can be used to compensate the data of image. I can give you a LUT which makes everything black and white. I can give you a LUT which makes everything green, you know. Now, if you want to manipulate, whatever corrections you do, you throw that LUT on top, gives you the result.
But just like Sudeep said, a LUT can be quite limiting in terms of control, but it can help with understanding what you want to achieve in the grade. A colorist usually enters the project in the final stages, alongside the post sound department. But if he can, he likes to join on the project at an earlier stage.
In our regular practice, most of the time, colorist joins the team after the edit. But there are situations where colorist join the team before the project is announced. So we can talk about two situations. One, after everything is done, the edit is done, then colorist can take over the project and send the files for the VFX. if there is an opportunity where a colorist can join during the making of the project, it helps a lot to the team to decide your set design as well as your lighting design. It helps quite a lot. And sit with the DOP director, know the story, or if they have some agency have some brand guidelines, and go with the brand guidelines and give the finishing touch to the project. So colorist can join before your project started or maybe after you have finished the edit. If the colorist is not there, you start doing a lot of don'ts. And later, if you have to fix, you have to spend a lot of money and time to fix those things on post. So if the colorist is on set, you can save your money and time. You can strongly project your story because you know what your end product is going to look like. So you will do more things on set than don'ts. So I think that's a win-win situation for any kind of director or filmmaker to consult a colorist or to have him on set.
So I guess it depends on when a colorist is needed, either during production or during post. Sudeep had also mentioned about brand guidelines. For example, with specific commercials, like a Chanel lipstick ad, Sudeep has to make sure that the colors are as accurate as they can be, and he must follow strict guidelines.
I still worked on a beauty Chanel ad. Chanel has like a line of lipsticks. Color has to look as closer to the original product. So it's quite strict brand guideline. So example this and more of like brand colors. And they, like I work in one project for Du. They want the blue to look same throughout the whole film. It's what we need to follow.
A colorist's first point of contact is the director of photography. The DOP is responsible for creating an overall look during the entire course of the project. The DOP also oversees how the cameras record data. You've probably heard about log and raw recording. Sudeep prefers one over the other.
I would rather choose a raw and any day, anytime, everyone. And if not raw, then log. Yes. Log is image. Raw is data. So a data we process to make an image. Log is already an image. If it is raw, then it doesn't matter you shoot in log or not. It's raw. So raw is unbaked data. Log is baked data with logarithmic gamma range. So in log, what you have certain the dynamic range, which you cannot achieve in linear color space, you can achieve in log. So log has a quite more dynamic range, those data, so that later in post, you can adjust those data according to your test.
In simple terms, raw footage is not video. Raw takes the data from the photo sites and records all of it before the camera initiates any conversion to video format, codecs, or color sampling schemes. These files can be quite large and need to be converted to a video format before being viewed. But the great advantage is that no video processing has been baked into the image. There's no white balance, ISO, or other color adjustments, allowing the colorist to make huge adjustments in the color grading process. Log, like Sudeep said, is already an image. Information has already been baked into the video, such as exposure and white balance. That brings us to the end of episode 9. A huge thanks to Sudeep for being on the podcast. Check out Sudeep's work on his website, digitalcinemacolorist.com. The Production Specialist is hosted by Black Dagger Audio, an audio production and post-production studio based in Dubai, UAE, specializing in custom sound design, original music, VO, and dialogue editing. You can visit our website for any project inquiries at blackdaggeraudio.com. If you have enjoyed listening to this podcast, there are 3 things that will help benefit this show. First is to share this with someone who has interest in the production industry. Second is to leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. And third is to support us on Patreon at patreon.com/productionspecialist. We have member-exclusive benefits such as behind-the-scenes, bloopers, sitting in on live interviews, early access to episodes, and much, much more. And that is it. Thank you so much. See you next time.